Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Bigs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's family day, buddy. It's Tuesday, 11 o'clock this morning, Soldier Field. Get down there, $10 a ticket. Can you get down there, or do you already have to have arranged it? We'll see the Bears in pads. I don't know that we'll see a lot of hitting, and I'm not sure we're going to see the rookie tackle, but that's the expectation, right?
Well, the expectation is we're going to see them in full pads, and there will be thumping and thudding. They will not be live, per se. We're not going to see a live tackling. Whether or not we see Tevin Jenkins, the rookie left tackle, I don't know the answer to that question. Matt Nagy did say yesterday that he felt like things were moving in the right direction for Tevin, but he's not going to put a timeline on when we think we'll see him out there. So it could be today. Maybe it's later this week. I don't know, but I do know this. Once you start accumulating missed practices and full pads, then I think you're looking at things and you're like, boy, this guy really needs to get going. He's got to get out there. At some point very soon, if he can't be out there, you're looking at it and you're saying, well, I don't know if they can roll this guy out there in the first preseason game.
Brad, we'll get to the football stuff, but whose idea was it to have this open practice on 11 o'clock on a Tuesday at Soldier Field? Just curious, because typically it's on a Saturday, right? But this is the first time that I can recall. I know it didn't happen last year, but it's a weekday morning. You're inviting the public to come watch you practice. It doesn't seem like you're going to have as big of a crowd potentially as you might.
Yeah, maybe they're playing to, some of the day camps that go on. And perhaps thinking they'll get good crowd. Personally, Dave, I celebrate the idea that this thing is at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. And while I realize to get out of Indiana, that might be something. Might be a great event on a Saturday night. I'm loving the schedule of this being at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, buddy.
Wow.
I don't get the gratuitous shot, and I wasn't really pointing that out, but yeah, it's just an odd scheduling quirk.
Brad,
yeah, no, it's definitely different because you're right. They usually butted it up against Lollapalooza of all things, which makes for a traffic nightmare to get to a football practice.
All right, Brad, let's get serious here. What other fun things are there to do in Indiana on a Saturday? Okay, let's talk about the quarterbacks. Okay, all three guys talked. I thought, you had one guy ready to play yesterday. You had one guy, greatness is going to take time. And you had another guy, come on, come and get me. Get me the hell out of here. Please, let me go to Indy. What was your take on the three different interviews?
Yeah, I thought all guys were interesting, and I don't know how often you can say that. Like, if a team's going to roll three quarterbacks out, I don't know how often all three guys are actually going to be interesting. But Dalton seems poised and in command. Field seems poised while, being real clear, hey, this is a learning process for me, and this is going to take some time. The process certainly doesn't look too big for him, doesn't look like it's overwhelming him. And then Foles, interestingly, guys, he's as long as he's been in the league and as, spotty as his career's been as a starter, meaning he hasn't started a ton throughout his career, he's never been in this position of being the number three before. And this is the first time we spoke to him since he got hurt against the Vikings in November last year. You guys remember late in the game, he gets hit, he's down, he was in a ton of pain. It looked worse than it turned out to be, thank goodness for Nick Foles. But we hadn't spoken to him since before that game, and he really didn't want to talk about what went wrong last year, which is it's a positive that he didn't want to throw the offensive line under the bus. Everybody saw the offensive line that struggled at that point during the season. I thought he probably could have pointed the thumbs some, though, guys, and been a little self-critical and said, hey, you know, it starts with me. I wasn't very good last season, because that clearly was the case, in my opinion.
Where is Justin Fields in terms of his development and grasping the verbiage of the offense? And he made a big deal about calling plays, something he didn't have to do at Ohio State. And it sounds simple, but yet his ability to master that may mean the difference between, you know, how long he sits and how long he and when he plays.
Yeah, or David, also the difference of, you know, how crisp things are for him when he does get a chance to play. And he talked about visualizing the play calls. You know, when he's not the first guy up, he's kind of seeing the play in his head, you know, knowing what it would be like when he calls it in the huddle. So I think he's taking natural steps there. And yeah, this is a, you know, it seems like something you would just gloss over. You just want to look at, you know, how does he handle himself in the pocket? How is he moving from one side of the field to the other? But before you even get there, the guy's got to get the other 10 cats in the huddle on board with them. And that starts with the smooth delivery of the play call. And he's got to be quick and efficient with that. And he's got to understand in his head what his assignment is on that play after he's told everyone else what theirs is. So, you know, that's why we've talked about it a number of times now. The number of reps he's getting in camp is important. It's not like he's sitting there as the third guy and he's just getting a couple reps here and there. He's getting nearly as many reps as Andy Dalton through five practices to this point.
So today is as much a show as anything else, because there will be fans present. What should people be looking for? Generally, speed of the team, you know, kind of attitude of the defense, looking at the young, you know, whether it be Mooney or the tight end, Cole Kmet, or Jalen Johnson. I mean, what improvement in some fashion? What is it that people that are showing up should be looking for?
Yeah, I think you hit on a couple areas. They've tried to get better in terms of team speed. And Darnell Mooney has looked really good, and you expect a fast guy with DBs not making much contact to look really good out there. I think he could be a really exciting player for them this season. I think you'll probably get to see one-on-one pass rush drills for the first time. So, you know, what does Elijah Wilkinson look like? He's a guy that, you know, is at minimum going to be the swing tackle this season. What's he look like? Larry Borum, the rookie. Interesting thing with Larry Borum, guys, is he'd been kind of going between the ones and twos as the right tackle, because, as you guys know, Jermaine Ifedi remains out also with the hip flexor that he suffered in the conditioning drill. And yesterday, it was Lechavius Simmons, the seventh-round pick a year ago, had another shot with the ones at right tackle. But they were working Larry Borum in with the reserves at left tackle. And so how do these guys, because we don't know much about Lechavius Simmons from a year ago. How do these young guys look in one-on-one pass rush drills? I would assume they're going to be beat a little bit because the Bears have got some veterans who should win those matchups, but can they hold their own a little bit? That would be something that I'm going to be looking for a little bit later today.
So, Brad, two new guys who a lot of people may see for the first time, Jesse James, the tight end, who Matt Nagy complimented, I think it was yesterday, and Daz Newsome, who came off the PUP list, who I think has an opportunity, if he stays healthy, to contribute. What do you see out of them in terms of potential contributions?
Yeah, Matt talked about Jesse James, who's made you know, a handful of plays for Justin Fields. We've certainly seen that. he's and Matt talked about the blend of him having that ability to kind of get down the seam and be a big target. He's 6'7" or so. He's got super long arms, so the catch radius is probably almost as large as Jimmy Graham's. Now, he doesn't, you know, have that kind of ability as a receiver, but Jesse James made some plays in the passing game for Ben Roethlisberger for several seasons in Pittsburgh. So he's got that ability, and they feel like, you know, he's a pretty good blocker as an inline tight end also. Definitely better than Jimmy Graham, and certainly more experienced at that than Cole Kmet. So he's the kind of guy, a late July signing, that could fit in onto this roster. I don't know what he can do for him on special teams, if anything. That's a bit of a question, but he's interesting. And then Daz Newsome, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him get going. They cleared him after he passed his physical yesterday. Really didn't do anything in the practice at Hallis Hall yesterday, so they're going to kind of ease him back in. I would expect to see him out there a little bit today, but I'm sure they're going to be a little cautious with him considering he's just coming back from that collarbone injury from the spring that did require a minor surgery.
I was reading that there was like a real buzz in practice out in San Francisco when Trey Lance went under center and ran some designed runs. And everybody was all pumped up because they hadn't seen him run before. Have we seen Justin Fields do any designed runs? Is there any plan on unveiling just his athletic ability today?
We haven't seen a ton of designed runs for Justin Fields. That will be in the future, though, and that is going to happen. They are going to take advantage of the athletic ability. They were in a drill yesterday where the offense needed two scores. There was about half a quarter left. And so they're trying to get downfield pretty quickly. And on one third down, Justin pulled the ball down. It was about third and 12, I think, guys, and took off. And so you got a real glimpse at his speed there and then showed that you could put him on the base paths right now and he could effectively slide in the second base on a steal. You know, so remember when Mitch couldn't slide, guys? It looked like a train wreck, right? Or it wasn't sure if he was going to dive or slide, and so it would be more like, it looked like a tumbling exercise. Fields clearly knows how to slide, and he talked about it from the huge hit he got in the national championship game against Clemson. Says he's still a little scarred by that, so I think he's going to be smart when it comes to getting out in the open field and getting down and protecting himself, realizing, if it's third and 12, get your 12. Don't get greedy, go for 16, and potentially have someone take your block off.
Brad, just for clarity before we let you go, is there anything in Nick Foles' contract language that allows him the power or enables him to have a say in where he would be traded? And I can't imagine that would be the case, but you wonder because of the way he talked about, having a say or having input.
Yeah, I mean, you sit there and he channeled his Aaron Rodgers for a little bit yesterday, guys, didn't he?
Yeah.
Nick Foles, no. There's no provision in Nick's contract in terms of a no trade clause or a limited list of teams or anything like that. There's nothing like that. The reality is Nick Foles is 2-9 as a starter over the last two seasons, guys. The tape is grisly. Okay, you can come up with some NC-17 horror films that are less frightening than the Nick Foles tape over the last two seasons. Okay, so I think that's an issue. The Colts invested a fourth round pick a year ago in Jacob Eason. They're going to want to see him. Okay, they got a young guy, and this is an opportunity for him to get some more reps. And it's my understanding, gentlemen, that the belief in Indianapolis is that there's a good chance Carson Wentz could be playing quarterback for the Colts in week one of the regular season. If that's the case, they're not going to make a move. The Carson and Nick dynamic, I don't know if that would work well together. I believe, too, if something crazy happened and Wentz was on the shelf for longer and the Colts said, yeah, you know what, we could get this guy that Frank Reich had before, I don't know if the Colts would pull the trigger on a deal unless the Bears paid like half of the $4 million that Nick Foles is guaranteed this season. So, in my opinion, the chances of a Nick Foles trade happening right now, even with Carson Wentz having surgery yesterday, are pretty small.
They could always call Phillip Rivers. They could always call Jay Cutler. There are plenty of people to call. All right,
they just signed Blake Bortles. They got Blake Bortles. What else?
He's bouncing around already. All right, buddy.
Thanks, Brad. Good stuff.
Have fun today.
Have a great day, guys.
It's perfect timing for Brad. I don't know. I think we've been confused by it, but he seems to enjoy it. It's Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Constantly growing every day, so of course, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, are anxious to see me play, but I think I said in my last interview, you know, greatness doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's a process. So like I said before, I'm just trying to take it day by day and literally focusing on getting better and improving every day.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of the soon to be the future quarterback of the Bears, the future king. That's Justin Fields, and that's a guy to keep an eye on at practice today. Curious to know how many people will turn up. We're planning on going. Should be fun to just get to see a little bit of training camp. And, again, this is a show. They will have various things going on. But Bigsy's right. Whenever I go to practice, whenever I'm at a NFL practice, I'm drawn to those line battles. Like in the old days, you'd see a lot of inside run drill and you get a sense of who can hold up and who can't and who's hitting and who isn't. I think it'll be harder to figure that out in the one-on-one drills, but that's always where the action is. Always.
It is. Yeah. I think I'm curious because people will get their first glimpse at greatness or future greatness in Justin Fields. And it reminds me of the time, and this is only a comparison because of the position and because of the novelty of seeing it for the first time, but we both remember the first practice Jay Cutler showed up in Chicago, and there was all of the buzz and excitement about, you know, what he could be and the possibility of Jay Cutler. And we had never seen a quarterback for the Bears throw the football quite like he did. And quite like he could. And so
the Elway cross.
You knew that he had that possibility and that potential immediately from the first drill you saw Jay Cutler run. And I think it's similar with Justin Fields. You hear descriptions of what he offers and just his athleticism, how smooth he is, how polished he throws. And this is somebody who, when he says greatness doesn't happen overnight, it doesn't, but you know that greatness is on the way. And I think that's something that is worth remembering as we go out there today. People will get their first glimpse of that. And it will be interesting to see the line battles because they're always fascinating in August. But I think it's going to be hard to take your eyes off the quarterback.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. Everybody's going to be looking for the quarterback. And, you know, we said the Elway cross. That was a famous – John Elway was so strong-armed. If you think of the top of the football, there's a little kind of area there where when he threw the ball to guys, if they didn't catch it with their hands and it hit them,
boom,
they were left like branded tattooed by the football. Exactly.
Yeah, it was
they were left with the Elway cross from that tip of the football penetrating their skin. And that's when Cutler, that's the thing. We hadn't seen a strong-armed, accurate quarterback before. And I just remember that first practice, just his arm ability. You're just like, oh my God, look at this!
And I remember him very nonchalantly. I think everything he said was sort of nonchalantly, but I think when he said, "Yeah, I got a stronger arm than Elway,"
you know, very casually,
right? And it was something that you thought, "Oh, really?"
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you saw it, and you're like, "Well, maybe so." I would not want to get the gun on it and to be, you know, try to prove him wrong because it seems like he's on the right track there. Certainly there's more than playing quarterback than throwing the football hard, as we found out in the next 8 years when he was in Chicago. But we digress. When you see Justin Fields today, that's going to be exciting. You know, we heard from him yesterday. We heard from all three quarterbacks, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that we, you know, the Nick Foles thing is interesting. You know, let's reinforce a couple of things that we talked to Big Z about that I think are worth pointing out and remembering. Number one, Nick Foles, as much as he may lobby for a team to come and get him, doesn't have a say in his next destination.
But he expressed his say in his next destination, didn't he?
There's a fine line there, isn't there? Because it speaks to his communication level and his confidence in communicating with his bosses that suggests that he has more of a say than maybe he does.
Well, who's gonna take on a backup quarterback that you know needs to be fully on board if he doesn't want to show up? Can't he, by virtue of his nonchalance or his uninterest in something, can't he submarine any potential deal because of, number one, the amount of money and the lack of arm talent or the lack of, you know.
He could, but that would be really announcing his intention to retire.
Right, but he kind of, like if you're Philadelphia, hey, why don't we go get, would you be interested? I don't want to do that. Then guess what? I don't want him. You know, why would I bring in a guy who's a backup quarterback that might be able to play, but I'm just saying.
You're not going to pay him that money.
It's about the salary. A lack of if you're the Jets and you're going through your list and you can't seem to get anyone, first of all, I can't wait to find out if this kid can play, because what the hell were the Jets doing?
Zach Wilson?
They
waited too long to get him under contract is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a
right.
big problem. Because if he's your guy and you have no leverage because you don't have a veteran backup to challenge him or groom him, you put yourself in a bad spot. With Foles, it's all about the salary, though. It's all about the cap hit potentially.
Right.
Because, look, Blake Bortles, as Biggie pointed out, you know, how many teams is he going to now try to latch on to?
Right.
And we see all these kinds of examples every year. Nick Foles is still in the league because of that reality. But the fact is that if you don't have to pay him, you don't have to worry about some of these things. But if you do have to pay him, then it's like, you don't want to play here. See ya. I don't want you either.
Let's get to the great man himself. Dustin Rhodes is going to give us a scoreboard update. He's going to give us all the information that we need to chew upon.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. The Bears, they're back to work. Full pads for the first time. It'll happen 11 a.m. this morning at Soldier Field. Carson Wentz, he is out. He's got foot surgery. He could miss up to 12 weeks for the Colts. The Cubs were off Monday. They're back at it tonight in Colorado. Zach Davies throws. Zach Zabin's pregame, 7:05. White Sox hosting the Royals tonight. Dylan Cease throws. And the Bulls, they've got a new guard. He's Lonzo Ball in a sign and trade deal with the Pelicans. He gets a four-year deal, $85 million contract. And Simone Biles wins the bronze medal on the balance beam after returning to competition at the Tokyo Olympics. The Wildcats host Michigan State, Iowa, Purdue, and more this fall. Buy those tickets, nusports.com.
There was a couple opportunities that came to be this offseason with a couple teams, but it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time or the situation with what was going on. In my life, it's like I said, you don't just want to go somewhere to go somewhere. Like, you want to go somewhere where you know the people somewhat, or you know someone who knows the people that can vouch for the people, so you can succeed. Listen, I'm 32. I feel great. The version of me right now is much better than the version that played in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that. And I'm confident in that. So put that through your mind. I know that. I know what this game's about. You have to have the whole package as a team. Like, you have to have everyone in there. You have top down has to be great. If it's not great, you're going to be mediocre. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And unfortunately, when you're a quarterback, you got to go through a lot of the, you know, baloney. But that's part of it. That's why we play this position. That's why we grow. Because at the end of the day, there might be some kid that's watching this press conference and they say Nick Foles is a three quarterback and he's going out there and his mentality is to dice up that defense and help his teammates. And that's what I will continue to do till I lace up the cleats for the last time.
Mully at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Wait a second. Who's clapping?
Yeah, it sounded like the media was applauding him.
Who's clapping?
I can't imagine.
I can say that was really a good performance. I can applaud the effort.
A couple of big issues there, though.
Who's clapping? All right, well, the big issues in terms of content, look, you like the energy. You like the confidence. But what he had to say could be picked apart and dissected.
He basically said he rejected two deals that could have gotten him out of town. Didn't he say that? That's what he said.
He essentially implied
that. There were a couple opportunities, but I wasn't interested. Well, like,
but he doesn't have – then shame on the Bears, because you know what? It doesn't – the no player –
He's not
of Nick Foles' stature right now, given his place, has the capability to veto a trade.
Hey, we need a backup, veteran. Not interested.
So what?
What?
So what? If you're
get out and get over there.
I think that we have seen, though, the one thing Nick Foles is consistent, and I don't want to be hypocrite because I love that. I love the way that he talks in these opportunities to speak and project, because he is a captivating professional athlete, all right? But it's interesting stuff.
He's a Super Bowl winner.
He's a Super Bowl winner.
And he reminded you of that.
Yeah, but you know what? He came to the Bears pretty confident in his relationship and his ability to communicate with Matt Nagy.
Because Nagy gave him his car.
Well, that's
back,
part of
back
it.
Back in Kansas City.
But we saw on the sidelines, they were barking at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought that was a creative tension, and that's good for a team. I don't know. I don't know if that creative tension and that ability to feel like you are being heard all the time is valuable now.
Is that more bad offense than creative tension when you look at it now?
It's a combination of both. I mean, you're going to have creative tension when your offense stinks and your offensive line doesn't protect the quarterback. I'd be in a bad mood too. You know, I'd be arguing and barking and like, give me the capability to run hurry up offense so I could hurry up and get, you know, to run away. I don't understand. I mean, Nick Foles probably had a point. The Bears were very incomplete last year offensively. I mean,
yes.
And their offensive line was very limited and inconsistent. But it doesn't really – just because you have a good relationship with the head coach and you feel empowered as a player because you're a Super Bowl MVP,
he
can't veto deals.
But he said at one point when he was talking specifically about Frank Reich, he talked about – how Frank designed an offense that worked for him and would work for him. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons that they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And then, you know, he made it sound like he wasn't sure he wanted to. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Well, the unspoken part of that was the Bears didn't do what Frank Reich did.
That's
why he didn't succeed.
They brought him into an offense that wasn't designed for his talents, and they put him in a situation where he could not succeed. If you hear what he said, that's what he said. Between the lines, he didn't say it like that. He just talked about when he had had success, and he talked about having to trust people because you know them, and it was a fascinating performance because of what was implied and not said.
Because he's not naive. He understands where he's leading the listener. He understands what he's doing and what he's saying without necessarily having to say it.
312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's try Matt. Matt's in Arlington Heights. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, guys. You know, just regarding, you know, the situation, I think the Bears have, in a way, you know, they certainly stumbled into an opportunistic situation here where, I mean, they could be patient with Foles, right? He's on their roster right now. I don't know, you know, what their goal is to maybe cut, if they're thinking about cutting him, but they're going to have a dead cap hit this year. But,
right,
you know, sooner or later, at some point, I think Indianapolis, my bet is, you know, Jacob Eason, I don't think he's going to be there's going to be a tight rope on him, right? So you could see potentially Indy coming to the Bears. It's a matter of how much they're going to eat. But, I mean, to me, if I'm the Bears, you know Fields is the future. You have two guys out there, whether it's Dalton or Foles, that are basically placeholders until Fields is ready. And I don't, you know, my opinion is the Bears aren't going anywhere this year. So I would just be, you know, certainly offering up any of those guys to just be in the, whoever's remaining to be the table setter for Fields. You know,
wow. So you trade Andy Dalton to the Colts. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would be open to either, you know, because realistically, you only need one of those guys on the roster to hold the spot open until Fields is ready.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
Appreciate the phone call.
interesting, but not realistic. They need to win, don't they? I mean, they were a playoff team last year due to the collaboration. Don't they need to win?
Yeah,
have we given them an extra year?
They have a team built to win, the Colts, down in Indy. But we're in Chicago here. And let me go full Dustin on you a little bit, because I wonder this a little bit, the conspiracy aspect of this. Why are we talking so much about Nick Foles? Okay. He was put to the podium yesterday, and he had a lot to say.
Because he was the best performance, and he could be the guy on the way out the door. And this might be the last time we talk about it.
He doesn't matter.
No.
He doesn't matter. It's fascinating. He was a good performer. But every conversation we have about Nick Foles is one fewer conversation we're having about the left tackle that's not practicing. And,
right.
I mean,
it doesn't matter
at all. If I look at the Bears' issues in terms of training camp so far to date, Nick Foles is far down on the list of things that really matter.
Look, this is the bottom line. People want to know what the quarterback's thinking. People are interested in the quarterback, and the three quarterbacks talked, and I'm wondering how many people realized he was still on the team, Nick Foles, because and he said good stuff, and he talked about, you know, slicing and dicing, and, you know, he's still going to be out there with the third string. That third string, where do you see that third string in the preseason? He's going to march them to the Super Bowl. I mean, it was compelling stuff.
It was,
that he said yesterday, but in terms of the Bears season, Nick Foles has absolutely zero relevance.
And it was the perfect Andy Dalton press conference, because what he said was so much overlooked and what he said was so unremarkable that he basically handled the press conference like the Bears hope that he handles this season, is just steady as she goes. Don't rock the boat.
Ready to play.
Let's go.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Given everything you said about Andy Dalton, you've expressed a lot of confidence in his ability to master this, and you've said a lot of things already about how he's practiced so far. Do you feel confident that he'd be good to go right now? If they called you and moved up your first game to tomorrow, would you feel like
100%? He's got full control of this offense, without a doubt. We could play a game tomorrow and be just fine.
We got no left tackle, but the quarterback knows what he's doing.
And he has a good experience dodging the rush, so he's had enough bad offensive lines in his day. 144 games, though, that's not that hard to believe that he would be ready to play today.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, the voice of Matt Nagy, and Andy Dalton is in total control. Great. Then why didn't you get him last year? 312-644-6767. Chuck's on the road. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mully. Hey, David. Hey, here's the move, and I don't know why no one's talking about it. Why don't they take and trade Andy Dalton to Indianapolis?
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier.
Why would you do that, though, Chuck?
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Why would you do that, Chuck? What would you gain?
To rush Justin Fields on the field.
I don't care if they rush Justin or they don't, but that's the more likely trade in the first place. And if you're going to let Justin sit, we're going to lose anyway, so you might as well leave Fold in there and get some type of return.
Thanks for the phone call and the idea. I don't think it's a good one. I'm just disagreeing. You know, he puts it out there. I don't know that the Bears are there where they agree with the sentiment that Andy Dalton has nothing to offer. And I can see being unenthusiastic about Andy Dalton starting your season as a starter. I can see questioning his abilities based on his tenure in Dallas. But I think that, you know, it sounded like Matt Nagy has no such doubts, or they have no qualms about handing him the keys and saying, keep it, you know, in the lane, 10-2, steady as she goes, steer the offense, and then just don't wreck the car, and you'll turn it over to Justin Fields when he's ready to go.
Listen, here's the thing. They went out and got Andy Dalton to be the starting quarterback, okay? And they drafted Justin Fields to be the starting quarterback of the future. And that's how their team is built. Nick Foles, unfortunately, is left here. And they couldn't get rid of him. And he's under contract, and he's getting paid. So you got an injury going on in Indy. You got a head coach in Indy that was an assistant when you won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia with Nick Foles. Logically, people are like, okay, maybe you can trade him there. Maybe you can get rid of him because there's no place for him here. This is not about how do you get rid of that of a quarterback? There's too many here. That's not what it is. And why would you suddenly promote Nick Foles after seeing the failure that happened last year?
Yeah, that would make any sense. And and look, we're also talking about the Bears, but in the context of the Colts, Biggs is right. They drafted a quarterback. They have a young quarterback in Jacob Eason they want to take a look at. They also are planning on Carson Wentz returning potentially in time for week one. They think that even though it's been reported the window of time is between 5 and 12 weeks, that may be a little bit more conservative than some people are thinking in Indianapolis. And Chris Ballard is no dummy. He knows that if you're not going to trade for a quarterback, you have to pay $10 million if you have what invested they have in Carson Wentz and he's coming back.
Right, right.
So
it's just
a non-starter.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's just a bad idea. But, I mean, I get it. I understand people get kind of wide-eyed and start imagining, well, you could do this and then you could do that. And why don't you bring him here? But that's listen, the starting quarterback is Andy Dalton. They've made that clear. Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback, hopefully for 10 years, the minute he takes over the reins of this operation.
Keep saying that and keep reminding people of that because the disappointment is only going to be more exaggerated as the month gets longer. So the more we see of the preseason, I think Andy Dalton is going to be – he's not a flashy quarterback. He's not somebody that is going to impress you in preseason. Or if you go watch practice, it's like, boy, you're going to get in the car after driving home. Did you see what Andy Dalton did today? He's not that kind of guy. He never has been. But he does have 144 starts that give you the confidence for Matt Nagy to say if he had to play tomorrow, he'd be ready. Because why? He's done it before.
Right. But, I mean – Matt Nagy saying, oh, no doubt, the guy would line up. It's like Matt Nagy saying, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, that's fantastic. This is just kind of preseason nonsense.
Rhetoric.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
So is it true that he'd be ready to start a game tomorrow? No. And they don't have the team ready to start a game tomorrow.
No,
frankly.
It's a hypothetical. Yes. And it's also why when you're talking about preseason this early in the month, you look at injury reports and names on the injury reports, and those resonate louder than anything a coach says.
312-644-6767. James is in Naperville. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I'm calling the whole quarterback situation with the Bears. I mean, everyone's talking about getting rid of Foles. Apparently, it's not as easy as that since hasn't he turned down two trades, as far as I heard?
He can't turn it down. He showed no interest in it, and he made it sound like he turned it down.
Yeah.
And again, when you're my point is, if you're bringing a guy in as a backup and he wants no part of your system, why would you want him?
No, I'm with you. It's nothing against Foles. I mean, the issue is I think all the Bears fans are a little bit over the top. I mean, I think Fields needs a little bit of time to get acclimated. You know, you traded for Dalton, and, you know, it's not easy to get a quarterback. What other quarterback would they have gone for other than Dalton at the time? I mean, Wentz was out there. That didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a game of musical quarterbacks, and, you know, you've got to be able to get one that you know can fill in what you do.
Well,
so it doesn't shock me that they'd want him.
And all is well that ends well. The fact that you were basically limited or that you had to accept – a serviceable quarterback who was affordable in Andy Dalton made you feel more empowered to go out and trade up to get Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Had you gotten Carson Wentz, had you gotten somebody else in the pre-draft portion of the offseason, you might not have felt as compelled to move up to get Justin Fields, which I think everybody can agree was the move that got everybody excited and was the best move you could have made in the offseason if you're Ryan Pace and you're trying to fix the quarterback position.
That's fair. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, listen, it was exciting that they managed to get Justin Fields. We had talked about how there was just no buzz around the Bears. You know, they had one of the worst press conferences you're ever going to see where they explained, well, we kept everyone because, you know, everybody works well together. It was just this empty, hollow kind of lack of belief left for Bear fans. And now I think maybe there's you know, a little more hope than there had been, and maybe that is one of the reasons that that people are feeling differently, because, hey, guess what? They actually have a quarterback. Wow. Didn't think that was going to happen, did you?
Without a doubt, that's true. And had they, hypothetically speaking, drafted a cornerback to start this year at the position they drafted Justin Fields, we might have felt better about this season, but the optimism about the future would not be as great.
Very good point.
As it is right now because of who they drafted and what they did to get him.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think there is optimism. I think people are waiting to find out what the quarterback can do. And obviously, we're going to see the first public practice today. So everybody's going to be out there looking at the same things. I'm just saying, don't forget, you got to get the tackle up and running, right? You drafted a kid at 38. You got rid of your starting tackle. I'm not saying he was any good, but what did you have? You don't have anybody that's ever played the position before. It's a big position. So you're not ready to just line up, sadly, much as everyone may want you to. Simple as that.
Speaking of roster construction, let's talk Bulls.
Yes, we've got Casey Johnson's going to join us next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.